I'd like to start a little bit by talking about the letter to the Hebrews. You may have noticed that for the last couple weeks, the second reading has been from the letter to the Hebrews, and it's going to be that way for a few more weeks. The letter to the Hebrews is sort of a mysterious reading in a sense, because we really don't have an idea who wrote it, nor do we know to which community it was written. And all we really know about it is what one can find out by reading the letter. It seems that it was written to a group of Christian converts from Judaism. And when one looks at the letter, one gets a sense that maybe those converts were beginning to get weary. Or maybe even they were being tempted to go back to their non-Christian roots. And so the author of this letter is trying to speak to them and remind them of how great is the mystery of Christ Jesus. And how Christ is really the fulfillment of all they have known and all they have believed as Jews. In our letter today, or in our passage today, we have Jesus being presented as the great high priest. And the author says he has passed through the heavens and gives us that sense that he now has a seat before the throne of the Father. And what he's trying to do there is say, you know, in Jewish religion, the high priest would offer sacrifice, but he was still here on earth. And all he could do is take that sacrifice to the temple. And that temple was just an image of what heaven would be. In other parts of the letter, he talks about that high priest was still a sinner. But he wants them to know that this Jesus, who offered his life as a ransom for us on the cross, he no longer has offered that sacrifice and brought it to an earthly temple, but he has now brought his great gift to the throne of the Father. And so this sacrifice that he has offered, the sacrifice of himself, is far greater than any other sacrifice that has ever been offered. And so we must put our trust in that great sacrifice, which reconciles us to the Father and takes away our sins and gives us the hope of eternal life. What we believe is that every time you and I gather here for Eucharist, we are present at that sacrifice. Jesus is doing here, or continuing to do here, what he did on the cross. He offers himself to the Father for us as that one perfect sacrifice, that eternal sacrifice that will never end until the end of time. But he offers it here in our midst so that he can gather us to himself, that his great sacrifice gets caught up, or our sacrifice gets caught up in his great sacrifice, and we become part of that perfect gift that Jesus offered to his Father on the cross. We are here to be gathered to him, to be made more fully one with him, members of him, members of his body. That's what every Mass is about. If you will notice in the Eucharistic prayers, there's always language of sacrifice. That word comes up, the word victim, the word offering. We offer to the Father the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but we also offer our own sacrifices. Go to the gospel reading now. That gospel reading talks about how Jesus has offered his life as a ransom for many, and that he came not to be served, but to serve. And then he tells his apostles, the greatest among you is the one who is the servant of all. What is that saying to us? It is saying that if we want to be part of that great sacrifice of Christ Jesus, we must strive to imitate his life by offering ourselves as a servant of those around us. Now, what does that mean concretely? I don't think it necessarily means that all of us have to do things that we're not now doing. But instead, we need to understand what we do, that which is not sin, as part of our great striving to be servants for the sake of Christ. For example, what you do as spouses to serve one another, that is part of that being servant. What you do as parents to serve your children, the sacrifices you make, the monetary sacrifices, the sacrifices of time and energy, the freedom you give up to be good parents, that is part of your servant, being servant like Christ was servant. What you do as children, teenagers, to be members of your family, to work together as a family unit, that's part of being servant. What you do as members of the community, whether it's here at the church and the work you do here, or whether it's what you do for the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, whatever. Whatever you do to serve is what Jesus is calling us to do. What we need to do to become more conscious that all of those things are for carrying out the command that we serve one another. And if we can become more conscious of that, that gives far more meaning and far more purpose to our lives, because we are striving to be like Jesus, who offered himself as a gift to the Father, as he offered himself in ransom for our sins. And as we serve, and as we give of ourselves in the multitude of ways that we do, we are becoming part of that great service which Jesus offered by his life and his death. There is service that goes on in our community that is far broader than any of us know. But what is important for us is to realize the holiness, the goodness of that service, and how all that we do is imitating Christ Jesus and allowing us to become more one with him, so that we can share in that great gift of himself to the Father. And then someday, in the risen life, we can live with him forever. We can rejoice with him forever before the throne of our Heavenly Father.